Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon, I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith for 50 minutes every afternoon here. And certainly these crossroads colliding once again as we look at the responses to our Holy Father's in-flight interview back from Mexico. And the one question which seems to be getting all of the attention, which I want to walk through the entire interview this afternoon and kind of pick apart some of these other areas, because he said some very important things on other topics, not just questioning the Christian actions of Donald Trump, which I think is how this could probably be put into a context. We certainly understand the Gospel of Matthew is very clear that we can judge a tree by its fruit. We can. We can judge a tree by its fruit. And this is exactly what was reflected here in this comment. And we'll get into that. But I would even ask the question, the church has made clarifications on excommunications of individuals as to keep scandal out of the faithful, right? So that's another question we got to ask. All of that and more coming up. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith. We talk about that 50 minutes every afternoon. We get to share. And exciting stuff, right? When we see Facebook and Twitter all aglow with questions and criticism of Pope Francis now after this in-flight interview, the press conference. And it typically seems like these are the times that do get more interesting, right? It's this type of interaction after the trip. He could say all kinds of interesting things while he's visiting a country. Nothing nearly as interesting as what comes out on the press conference flight interview. And some of my colleagues in the Catholic media world, I think, feel like they kind of have to apologize or maybe even criticize even this, right? Because, well, this is the problem with unscripted responses, and maybe we really shouldn't allow him to be out there like that. Maybe we need to kind of keep a tighter rein here. Let's move on. Let's have somebody intervene. I've seen all kinds of interesting things, but this is the Vicar of Christ, right? This is our Holy Pontiff. This is our Pope. And why we think we need to keep that in a box in any way, shape, or form, or contain what he may say, I personally think is quite ridiculous. And if you read this press conference transcript, which is on the Catholic News Agency website, and many have posted it on their Facebook page. I have yet to do that, but I will. Things are going along very interesting. And some very important stuff that he's talking about already in this press conference, one has to do with drugs and violence in Mexico. As a reporter asked about that, there was then a transition into the priest abuse scandal, and particularly the Father Maciel challenges there with the Legionaries of Christ. He gets into that and says some very, I think, definitive statements when it comes to things of this nature, basically saying, look, if there is a bishop who would do something of this nature, where they would shift a priest who is guilty of something of this nature, I want their resignation, right? I mean, he lays the law out very clearly. And then even talks about some of the revelations and how it was discovered, and how then Cardinal Ratzinger was so instrumental in so much of that was taking place. So very interesting. And then we get, out of the blue, Phil Puella, I guess is how you say his name, I'm guessing, from Reuters, who's got this question. It says, today you spoke very eloquently about the problems of immigration. On the other side of the border, there's a very tough electoral battle. One of the candidates for the White House, Republican Donald Trump, in an interview recently said that you're a political man, and even said that you are a pawn, an instrument of the Mexican government for migration politics. Trump said that if he's elected, he wants to build a 2,500-kilometer wall along the border. He wants to deport 11 million illegal immigrants, separating families, etc. I would like to ask you, what do you think of these accusations against you, and if a North American Catholic can vote for a person like this? So that's the question. That's the tee up here, right? To which Pope Francis responds, thank God he said I was a politician, because Aristotle defined the human person as animal politicus. At least I am a human person. As to whether I am a pawn, well, maybe. I don't know. I'll leave that up to you and your judgment and that of the people. And then a person who thinks only about building walls, wherever they may be, and not building bridges, is not Christian. This is not in the gospel. As far as what you said about whether I would advise to vote or not to vote, I'm not going to get involved in that. I only say that this man is not Christian if he has said things like that. We must see if he said things in that way, and in this, I give the benefit of the doubt. So that, of course, has created much hoopla, because a couple of those key phrases have been extracted, and the one that's left out almost every time. Now, I did post a pretty fair treatment of this from the Christian Science Monitor over on my Facebook page, and that was at least included. Actually, that was extracted and shown that he said, I give the benefit of the doubt. But that is, at this point, it's a non-issue compared to everything else that was presented here. But I think it's important that what Pope Francis said very clearly, because there are some who want to argue the craziness of church and state separation and things of that nature. He said, and he was asked about other political issues in Italy in this press conference, and he declined to comment on that because he realizes there are lines that he's not going to cross when it comes to seemingly being an advocate for a political position, which he did not do. But as he says, someone who would do something of this nature, and someone who would say things like that, he basically says, this is not Christian. Now, did he say this? Did he say Donald Trump is not a Christian? That is not in any of his quotes, but it's certainly referring to what would be said. Now, interestingly enough, the 11th commandment is not thou shalt not judge, right? Nor is it one of the 10. Which there are plenty who think that this is some sort of commandment on high. Read the Matthew 7, chapter 7, I think is where it is, where it's kind of this narrative on judgment. And to understand that there is a process, there's an opportunity that any of us really could participate in when it comes to judging that which is good and that which is evil. And the primary indicator is fruit. And for us as people, that fruit can look like actions. It could also look like words. What are we bearing? What is coming out of us? And if our actions don't match what we say, well, that's a little bit confusing as well. And if we speak negatively, nastily, and behave negatively and nastily, well, that's kind of an indicator as well. So we can't sit back and say, who am I to judge, and throw that quote back at Pope Francis, because we can judge certain things. And if you look at the context of that who am I to judge comment, by the way, it was a completely different situation, referring to someone who may have homosexual tendencies and be a priest. So what, right? There are men with heterosexual tendencies, right, who are priests. And who are we to judge that? They are called to this ministry as a celibate, regardless of their inclinations, regardless of their attractions, right? There are heterosexual men who are in the vocation of matrimony, who are also attracted to the opposite sex of other women outside of their marriage. Doesn't make it right, but we're not there to judge that unless it turns into scandal, right? And now we got another level of complexity in a situation of judgment, because scandal looks like something, right? We can have all kinds of thoughts, and Jesus is very clear about this, that even if we're having those thoughts, those are inclinations of sin, which we need to work out personally in the confessional. And we can do that. But when our inclinations and our actions manifest into something that is undoubtedly a situation of scandal, now we got a problem, right? And forgive me for not knowing chapter verse on this, because I haven't read through it recently, but there is that passage about leading others to sin. I think it's in different gospels and different interpretations. One says it's better that a stone be tied around your neck and you cast into the sea. I think the other one says it's better that you're never born. Because now we're talking about a very unfortunate reality of scandal being that which is such a strong wrong path, right? Such a strong inclination that others may follow. Now you got a problem. Because if your actions lead you to sin, that's you and God, right? If your thoughts lead you to sin, that's you and God. Cut it out, right? Jesus is clear about this. Find a way to get the heck rid of it. And we can do that. We can do that sacramentally, beautifully, through the gift of reconciliation. But when that sin issue goes to the next level of leading others, now we got a problem. So I kind of see this as being that dynamic. Because if Matthew 25 is the open book test, if it is, and if we will be judged ultimately by God, not by man, not by the vicar of Christ even on this earth, but the final judgment boils down to asking those questions. When did you see me? One of those may very well be, when did you see me and you decided to build a wall instead of a bridge? So we got to realize what we're up against here. And then, of course, the other argument that everybody's been through, well, what about Vatican City? Isn't it surrounded by walls, right? Which, a really different dynamic of a city that happens to be walled with an open gate versus that of a border fence designed to keep people completely out. So we got to understand the dynamic differences here and exactly the implications. And when someone is stepping into that territory and leading others piperly right along, we get an issue. And it's interesting, the majority of Catholics who right now would say they would vote for Donald Trump. We'll talk more about this in just a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back in just a moment.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, almost hour. 5734-BREAD-4 is the number to call. 5734-BREAD-4. Should you want to chime in on the discussion this afternoon. Kind of been walking through this interview, the in-flight press conference after the trip to Mexico, which, of course, was the interesting response to the Reuters interviewer question that certainly has gotten a lot of individuals in an interesting uproar. I hear now that Donald Trump is toning back the rhetoric and apparently not wanting to pick a fight with Pope Francis, which I think is smart. That may be one of the wisest decisions we've seen him make. Not sure how reliable this source is and what we're going to see come of it, but it's an interesting It colors this in an interesting way, right? It adds a new dynamic. It adds a new depth of interest and challenge when you get into this. And of course, Pope Francis not making a determinant on who to vote for, but clearly saying that there are some characteristics we have to watch for. We have to look at these core issues when it comes to human dignity, and if human dignity is being compromised in any way, we've got to address that. So what's interesting, this one got all of the attention, basically saying, and clearly saying he's going to give them the benefit of the doubt, but if somebody says things of this nature, if this is what they believe, then we got a problem, right? This does not add up. It is a scandal to consider someone doing something of this nature and leading others joyously down that path of degrading human dignity. So this one got all of the attention, which there were very interesting other questions, right? The Zika virus, this is something that is in the news and a big issue, a big question because of the challenges of the unborn. There are babies who are being born with these unfortunate defects that this virus leads to. And so I find this question as interesting as the other, but it just didn't get the spin, of course. And this is from a Spanish writer, Spanish journalist, who asked about the Zika virus, the risk of to pregnant women. He says, as regards to avoiding pregnancy on this issue, can the church take into consideration the concept of the lesser of two evils, he asks. And Pope Francis responds with this. He says, abortion is not the lesser of two evils. It's a crime. It is to throw someone out in order to save another. That's what the mafia does. It's a crime. It's an absolute evil. On the lesser evil, avoiding pregnancy, we're speaking in terms of the conflict between the fifth and sixth commandment. Paul VI, a great man in a difficult situation in Africa, permitted nuns to use contraceptives in cases of rape. Don't confuse the evil of avoiding pregnancy by itself with abortion. Abortion is not a theological problem. It's a human problem. It is a medical problem. You kill one person to save another in the best case scenario. Or to live comfortably, no? It's against the Hippocratic oaths doctors must take. It's an evil in and of itself, but it is not a religious evil in the beginning. No, it's a human evil. Then obviously, as with any human evil, each killing is condemned. Then he goes on to say, on the other hand, avoiding pregnancy is not an absolute evil. In certain cases, as in this one, or in the one I mentioned of Blessed Paul VI, it was clear. I would also urge doctors to do their utmost to find vaccines against these two mosquitoes that carry the disease. This needs to be worked on. Now, in the Catholic press, I've seen a little bit of this. I've seen some secular press pick this up and say, oh, well, now look, right? Not only did Pope Francis in this interview say Donald Trump is not a Christian. He basically opened the door, paved the way. Contraception is A-OK in the Catholic Church. Because those who want to push their agenda, their political agenda, they're going to go down that path. Which is not what he said. Obviously. Fortunately, we have transcripts of this stuff. We can read what he said and we can understand it. And there is a responsibility when it comes to things of the nature of nuns getting raped. Right? If you can't stop the rape, you've got to do something. And this was a big enough issue that they had to do something, had to intervene. But the church has always understood that, especially through natural family planning, there is the opportunity to avoid pregnancy. There is nothing that mandates that every family have as many children as they possibly can. There are some who do. I have many close friends who have seven, nine, multiple children. And that's beautiful. Nothing wrong with that. But there's nothing that says a family must do this. And this is the way to express yourself as Catholic. And our Holy Father has been criticized even because he said things like that before. And he's even said things to the extent of, I'm not saying you have to breed like rabbits, right? We've heard him say that. Which that, of course, was taken and twisted and turned as well. So in all of this, I think that what we hear is a consistent ethic on both of these, right? On both of the things that he talked about, which has kind of gotten spun a little bit in the media, it's a very consistent ethic with the church. And what I've seen, whether it's the Pope Francis, whether it's the Donald Trump thing or this contraception thing, because I've seen them both discussed in and around various social media posts, what disturbs me is that there are Catholics who continue to question, right? There are those who say, well, I don't know, I think this guy's gone too far this time. Who may have already been questioning their opinion of this Holy Father. And I know those. I know them. I have friends who have been disturbed and continue to be disturbed. And I think this is probably something that's even maybe even more disturbing after hearing what they've heard, whether they decided to go back and read the actual transcript to see the nuance of what was being said and both the context and the subtext. But we don't do that, right? We don't do that effectively. We like to simply latch on to those sound bites, those extracted quotes, and then who cares, right? Because this confirms it. Yeah, oh, I see what this is all about. Yes, oh, wow. Been waiting for this one. It's a very dangerous place to be. It's a very unfortunate, I think, a very thin ice to tread to be there, to where all you're doing is looking for the opportunity to oppose your own leader of your own religion. Why are we going to do that? I mean, we've had, and we always will, have Catholics that are more Catholic than the Pope on both sides of the fence. We know that. But I would hope by and large that the rest of us would not just put our political leanings first, and we would take the opportunity to give our Holy Father the benefit of the doubt, right? As he's willing to do. As he clearly said, he is willing to do in this case. And to simply say, well, if this was the case, it looks like this, but maybe I need to give the benefit of the doubt. We're awaiting, and this one, of course, I think was, it started, and I saw it. I saw the crumbling or the shifting of the sand, whatever you want to say, the foundation beginning to shake a bit when we began this first synod on the family. And, well, what's going to happen now, right? What are we going to do? Are we simply going to throw out the sacrament of matrimony, divorced and remarried Catholics. Who cares? No annulments necessary. Let's embrace same-sex marriages. That's where all of this is going, right? I heard that type of fear. And interestingly enough, this was addressed in this press conference as well, which this one I haven't seen addressed at all. I haven't seen anyone too concerned about this, because I guess this one isn't necessarily salacious enough or controversial, because he confirms. He simply confirms what the church has taught. He simply says that there's no changing of the way we address this understanding of communion for divorced Catholics and divorced and remarried. That's the challenge, without an annulment, right? And he says he wants to work for integration, right? And an integration, as he says, is not integrating this to the full understanding of communion is available. He even talks about those who come, essentially talking about Christmas and Easter Catholics who come once or twice a year, essentially demanding this when it's not permissible. So, you know, here he is affirming and completely standing in the tradition of the church, and even talks about how we're going to see this. He said sometime before Easter we should see the full report from the Synod, and we've been waiting for that. We had the Relatio document a year or more ago, a year and whenever it was, in September, October time frame, and you know that got people crazy. And now he's saying, hey, this is all going to be affirmed. You'll see exactly what it looks like with this document. So we don't latch onto that. Hey, maybe the Pope really is Catholic, right? More to come. We'll be back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. 50 minutes every afternoon. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith. And as I've said, those worlds colliding, those paths coming to an impasse, it seems, with the recent news. And we've been talking about unpacking this press conference this afternoon, many of the things that were talked about by our Holy Father, and some of them that were unfortunately ignored. I want to mention this because I think I said it briefly, but you know, the first degree of criticism that seems to have been lobbied back toward this statement about walls is that challenge of, well, what about the Vatican, right? If you're going to say don't build walls, why do you have a wall around the Vatican? Which, you know, I think if we put a wall around whatever it is, but there's an open door policy of that wall, it's really not a wall at all, right? It may be a border at best, but it's not a wall, because at least not a border fence. It might distinguish and delineate this property from that, but if the door is always open, if the gate is always down, then what are you talking about? How do you criticize that? And that's certainly the case with the Vatican, right? We know that it is a walled city. Not sure exactly when the wall was built, but it was certainly there to protect against the marauding invaders who were trying to take out the Vatican. And so, still there. It's a piece of history. Pope Francis didn't build it. But certainly, that the wall is not walled up to let no one in there, yes, but the gate is open. So much different dynamic, and I would hope that those who want to criticize would do a little bit of research there and discover just exactly what that looks like. You know, in another area of what I think is somewhat disturbing, I posted this over on my Facebook page, the Islamic rape of Europe is what it's called. And I couldn't imagine. I look at this image and I think, what if this was America? And what, instead of these Arabic and or Middle Eastern looking skin tones, we see African Americans with a white woman being groped and grabbed and this headline about being raped? I wonder how would this play out in the media? And it's a Polish magazine that posted this, and you would think immediately it's referring to that Cologne, Germany experience of the New Year's Eve attacks, which apparently there were hundreds, or at least about 100 reports of something taking place there. But this is a growing fear factor, right? There is this unfortunate and propagated in international headlines of these people are animals. That's if you're welcoming a refugee, you may as well just be welcoming a rabid dog into your home, because this creature will do nothing but harm you and hurt you. And that's what is seemingly sold here. Do we know that not everyone is good? Absolutely. But this is true of anyone, right? Evil can manifest and show itself and present itself, regardless of whether it's a group of refugees or your neighbor down the street who just happens to be, unfortunately, mentally not all there, right? You never know. So we can't make these. It's terrible in the time of what I would hope is a heightened awareness of injustices, of realizing what we do to treat people as non-people, as non-persons, as undignified. And in this day and age, for something of this nature to take place. But I posted this over on my Facebook page. You want to take a look at it. She defends herself, the author, for putting this together. Which leads me to another topic of what I see as a very unfortunate level of objectification and eradication of dignity. And that's the Sports Illustrated issue, which apparently is getting all of this acclaim because, oh, finally, we can get a plus-size model there, right? Finally, it's not just the anorexic women or those who just happen to have the absolute perfect body type according to someone's standards, but not the rest of the world, or this isn't a real woman because real women don't look like that, or you name it, right? Which my post here is, well, thank you, Sports Illustrated. Now it's okay to objectify all women, right? Not just those who have a particular body type, not just those who would typically pass the test and the vetting for a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, but no, now we can take it everywhere. And where is the outcry here? Why do we not see this as a problem? We have a culture that is outraged on certain things that really aren't outrageous, and then just we want to accept the things that seem like, oh, well, this is progress. This is some sort of empowerment. And it's amazing. It's amazing the disconnect and the blindness that we have, and it's simply because we have certain social issues that seem to gain traction and others that are just largely ignored. And when I see something of this nature, it just makes me ask, why have we not gotten further here? And then there's the old argument, well, these women, they want to be there, right? They want to be there. And the same argument is true for anyone who is in the adult entertainment industry. Well, this is their choice. This is what they do. The same argument has even been used for prostitution. Well, these women want to be there. And the question is, well, just because somebody wants to do something, does that make it right? Right? There are people who want to rob banks. There are people who want to murder their family. They wanted to do it. They want this. This is what they wanted. Why don't we applaud that in the same way and say, well, look, they wanted this. So a very bizarre disconnect that we have because we haven't really understood the consistent ethic of human dignity. If we were to get that right, this would go away. It would just dissolve. We would not find this appealing. We would say, you know what, this is undignified. There's something about treating people as objects that just doesn't really sit well with me, we would say. We would say there's something about not giving everyone equal opportunity and an understanding of equal human dignity that makes me say, well, maybe a big, huge wall on our border is not the best way of doing this. Maybe we can find better economic solutions. Maybe we can reach across that border and find ways to help with the problems that are there. If we really embraced human dignity, we would not say, well, the law of the land is what it is when it comes to Roe v. Wade, and women need to have that right to choose. We would be appalled, and there would be just it would dissolve this desire to take that stand, because we would say, wait a minute, that is so against human dignity. Why would we do that? But unfortunately, we kind of pick and choose, right? We pick and choose where we think that this energy needs to be addressed. We find our areas of comfort, our comfort zones, our pet projects, whatever, the things that make us feel the best. And we say, okay, well, this is where we'll focus our energy because this is what gets us the most energized. And unfortunately, for many, that is a political energy that says, I'm either over here on the political arena or I'm over there in the political arena. Which you've heard me say a million times, the politism and Catholics, right? We've got something out of order. And when you look, I mentioned this a moment ago, I think the recent poll, and forgive me for not having it in front of me, is 54%, if I'm not mistaken, of conservative Catholics would, given the opportunity, vote for Donald Trump. And I don't care who you vote for. I'm not telling you who to vote for. But that to me is a disturbing number when you look at the incongruity of someone's obvious policies and positions when it comes to the dignity of human people, right? So we unfortunately have this disconnect where there are those who want to stand for the unborn, but the immigrant, well, they're illegal. We got to have laws, right? While in the same breath saying, well, an unjust law is not a law that I need to obey anyway, and that's why I'm going to fight against this law of the land of abortion. How do both of those things come out of one's mouth? How do both of those things even formulate from the same tongue? Lots of things we got to think about. That's all we have time for this afternoon. Follow me over on Facebook, Leo C. Brown. Post all this stuff. You can argue with me there. Always happy to hear from you. Back next week. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. God bless.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.